Well, amen. That was good, wasn't it? I'm going to tell you something. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to tell you something. I came to the office this morning about 10 minutes to late, and I was sitting in the office, and I went over the sermon that I'm preaching to you tonight, which is right here. And originally, I was going to preach this sermon this morning, and then I was going to preach the one I preached this morning tonight. And I could not decide. When I went over the sermon for this morning, I did not have peace about preaching it this morning. And so instead of reviewing the one that I preached this morning and just putting this one aside until tonight, I argued with the Lord and said, "But Lord, I have AM on this one and PM on this one." And at 20 minutes after, I finally, you'd think after 30 some years I would learn, but I learned, and I said, "Okay, Lord, I will do what you want me to do." And as soon as I did, I had perfect peace. In case you were wondering, well, why didn't they sing that this morning? Because I was supposed to preach this morning tonight. That's why. But now the song means more to you now after you have heard the message this morning. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. And as I was preparing that sermon, I came to Pastor Allen and I said, "You got to sing this Sunday night, next Sunday night, you got to sing this song." And he said, "Well, I'm not scheduled to sing, but I'll get somebody to sing it." And so thank the Lord for that wonderful song. All right, turn to Luke chapter 15 tonight for the message. I know a lot of you have commented to me, you're concerned about my coughing, and you think that I have lung cancer and that I'm dying next week. And I assure you that I am not. And it is allergies, it is hay fever. This is an extremely bad hay fever year. And if the trees would hurry up and get on with it, I'll be fine. But they're hanging on as long as they can. I've had a lot of you say, "Well, have you been to the doctor?" And that would entail having to stop and actually go to the doctor. No, I haven't. I am taking some sinus medication that I've been prescribed in the past, and it's just like eating candy. It's not doing anything for it. And I remember there's been two or three years over the years where it has been as bad on me as it has been this year. And just shy of knocking me just plumb loopy, there's really nothing that helps. And I cannot function on that stuff. Sinus medication just makes me antsy and it makes me nervous. I feel like my skin's coming undone and my muscles are jumping out. And I stay hungry. I eat everything that's not tied down. I want to sleep all the time, and so really, trust me, this is nothing new, and I'll be okay as soon as the allergens die down a little bit. But I do not have cancer, and I do not have emphysema. I do not have, what was the other one? Tuberculosis. Yes, I do not have tuberculosis, so everything's fine. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11, another familiar parable. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill him, and let us eat and be merry. Hey, you get up here and do this, all right? Verse 24, For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, I want you to go back, please, for just a moment. I want you to look with me at two little statements. I want you to look in verse 12 that the younger came to his father, and I want you to circle or underline, Father, give me. Father, give me. And now I want you to look, please, at verse 20, or verse 19, I'm sorry, and the middle part of the verse, Father, it's inferred, it's not written, but Father, make me. All right, we have give me and then make me. I want to speak to you tonight on the prodigal's two requests of his father. The prodigal's two requests of his father. Let's pray. Our Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. And Lord, tonight I pray your blessings upon the message that I'm about to preach. Father, I pray that you will open our minds and our hearts to receive what we're about to hear. And Lord, this could make a difference in someone's mind and someone's heart tonight. This message, if we'll listen, could help someone tonight. So, Father, I pray that you will help us to listen and to have ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Lord, I pray you'll help me as I speak. I need your help. And Lord, I pray that you'll call to my mind that which I need to say, and then take away that which I should not say. And Lord, that you might be honored and glorified in all that's said and done. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for as our Father, always being there. Lord, no matter what, you're there, and we thank you for that. And help us to realize, Lord, that how we ought to approach this matter of living for you, that, Lord, how we ought to approach our relationship with you tonight. So bless the message now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before us tonight is a very familiar passage of Scripture, a very familiar parable, one that I have preached from many, many times before. However, I choose this text tonight because I was reading this last week, and I noticed the request that was made in verse 12 where the father was approached by his prodigal son, and he said, Father, give me. And then the father gave him what was his. He went out and wasted everything he had. And when he got down to the end, got down to the bottom of the barrel, got down to where he had nothing and he was about to starve to death, all of a sudden he had a little change of heart. And he comes back to his father and he says to the father, Okay, Dad, make me. Give me and make me. And I want to speak to you tonight on the prodigal son making these two requests of his father. The first request was, Father, give me. He said, Father, give me the goods that falleth to me. You see, the young man was growing up and he found himself getting a little weary with living at home. Found himself a little tired of daddy's rules and regulations. And I don't know exactly where the young man's heart was. The Bible does not specifically go into that. But I doubt that his heart was much different than what I've seen hundreds and hundreds of times since I've entered into the ministry. The lure of the world, the lure of sin, was greater than anything else that he could see in his vision. He saw the lights of the big city. He saw the attraction and the lure of Babylon and thought that that would be a wonderful place to go. Thought that it would be great just to go out and sow your wild oats and just live it up a little bit. And he saw the calling world luring him away from home. Time was passing him by, the devil whispered in his ear, and he was not grabbing all the gusto that life had to offer. And he felt like he was missing out on life. The fatal mistake made by this foolish young man was that he thought all he wanted was far off in some other place. He thought the answer to all his dreams and visions lay somewhere over the rainbow in some far away land. He was destined to learn better eventually. But right now, he just wants the penny for the journey. And so he comes to his father and he says to him, "Father, give me." Now, I want you to notice that he does not ask for advice from his aged daddy. He does not seek counsel. He does not come and say, "Dad, before you give me that inheritance, what advice do you have for me as I go my way?" He does not present a plan and seek his father's blessing about his plan. All we see is his rebellious, wicked heart displaying itself in the cries of a thoughtless young man as he says, "Father, give me." And we all know what happened. We all know the story. His father did indeed give him his inheritance, and off to Babylon he went, holding the world by the tail, having himself a blast. He just couldn't imagine how much fun life was going to be. And I can imagine that he probably thought that right at that moment that that was the greatest day of his life. When he got to the big city, the parties were a lot of fun. The drinking was enjoyable. All those new friends that he found, man, it was an exciting time. But soon, the money ran out. And when the money ran out, so did all the new friends. Where did all of his new buddies go once his money was gone? Well, I'll tell you, they went to find somebody else that had money. And they left him alone. And we see the young man sitting on the side of the hog pen, remembering the days when he was back in his father's house and when he had it made. You see, folks, once sin has taken its toll on him, and once he is alone, once he's destitute and starving, memories of home begin to flood in his mind. And he reasons and thinks to himself. The Bible says that in verse 17, he came to himself. I want to serve notice on you. It is a great day when anybody comes to their senses. And he did. He came to his senses. He came to his senses and he started to think, you know, my father's servants have it better than me. And so he takes off, goes back to the father. The father is sitting on the porch, sees him coming. And when he sees him, he's not close enough for him to recognize him, but he thinks there's something familiar about the gait of that person who's coming his direction. He thinks there's something about the silhouette that reminds him, could it be? And boy, up he goes, and he runs, and he meets his son, and he greets his son, and he hugs his son, hog smell and all, and welcomes him back home. I want you to notice now, this prodigal who left with his head held high, now comes home with his head dragging. He's got a bowed head now. He does not come with the same attitude with which he left. And now his petition is not, "Father, give me." He has got all he asked for and was miserable. His one impassioned cry now is, "Father, make me. Father, make me." You see, I think that this boy was so broken. When he came home, he was beseeching the father. He was beseeching his daddy, "Dad, make me whatever. Make me as one of thy hired servants if you want to. And now all of a sudden, he has a different attitude, doesn't he? I think he was saying, Father, I now have no will of my own, but I surrender my will to do your will. I am such a fool for what I did. You are so wise, and so whatever you say to me, that is what I will do. So what do we see in this young man's story? Well, we see him learning the hard way that sin doesn't pay. He is taught by his own life experience and disciplined by the rod of his own rebellion and stubbornness. And now his rebellious insistence has passed into submission. At the beginning of the story, he has no will but his own will. He must have it or he would hate his father. At the beginning, the only proof of love was the getting of the things that he demanded. But now he has a completely different tone. Father, I submit myself to you. Make me whatever you want me to be. Now, folks, I'm afraid that there's just way too many of us that have the attitude of the prodigal as he came to his father the first time. And not enough of us that have the attitude when he had spent all and came home with a broken heart. I want you to think about these two requests of the prodigal to his father. It caused me to notice what happened when he came to this place of submission. When he finally woke up and came to this place of submission, what happened to him? And folks, I only got two thoughts. I think I only got two thoughts. I don't think I can think much more than that. Yeah, I've only got two thoughts. Let me give you just two things that happened. Notice what happened when he came to the place of submission. First of all, when he submitted to the Father, it was then that he got the best. Isn't that a great thought? I mean, he came the first time and he said, Daddy, give me. And his daddy gave him. But what did he give him? He gave him money. He gave him money. Folks, money is not going to get you anywhere in this world. You might have money and you might waste money, and money didn't get you anything if that's the case. He thought he was getting the best when he left home. Can you see him walking out of that house, grinning from ear to ear, looking down at that big wad of money that he had in his hand? He thought that he was getting the best when he left home. Oh no, my friend. I want you to know that no one loved him and had his best in mind any more than his father, who stood there and watched him go out the door knowing that he was headed for demise. His best interest was to stay with the one that truly loved him, and the only one, it proved, that really loved him was the father. He never knew the riches in the home until he learned to leave things in the Father's hands. When he offered up his first request to his father, Father, give me, the story tells us he got money. But then when he got it, he spent it, and in no time he was reduced to poverty. But at the second request, Father, make me, that one came from his heart, from a broken heart at that, folks, and he got more with a broken heart, and he got more from humility than he ever got when he went the first time. Father, make me. His father cried, you bring forth the best robe and put it on. The robe was given to the person who was the honored guest at the feast. He said, bring shoes for his feet. You see, he probably sold his shoes when he ran out of money. He probably got rid of his shoes, probably sold them to somebody for nothing. They said, put shoes on his feet. He said, get a ring for his finger. I mean, all that was the choicest of his father's treasures were freely given to him once he came home with the right kind of heart. Now you think about it, folks. This dirty, smelling like the hog pen, skinny old, torn apart by sin, young man was lavished by the wondrous treasures of his loving Father. Insisting on nothing, he got everything. Do you see that? Do you see that? The ring, the robe, the music, the feast. It's all a picture of what a father's love can be when the passionate cry of the heart is, Father, make me. Make me whatever you please. My prayer is no longer, give me, Father. My prayer now is, make me. And you know, folks, I think that is the way that this is the whole key. I think this is the whole key to real spiritual maturity in the Christian life. I think this is the whole key to the growth of the Christian life. So much of the Christian growth that we so mysteriously speak about is nothing more than an attitude adjustment that doesn't look at God like He's some big welfare agency up in the sky handing out entitlements, but we see ourselves as humbled, undeserving children that have been saved by grace, who are nothing but a sinner saved by grace, and who deserve the worst, but by the grace of God, who have surrendered themselves to the Father, who is all wise and therefore knows what's best for us. And when we approach God with that attitude, you mark it down, we're going to get the Father's best. Do we not have a promise that our God shall supply all our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? You see, folks, I think we have the tendency to come to our Heavenly Father and say, as did the prodigal, Father, give me. And we don't come with the attitude that says, Father, make me. As I got to this part of the sermon, go back to Psalm 106. I had just read Psalm 106 that morning for my own devotions. And I want you to turn back to Psalm 106. This passage came to mind. I'm going to start in verse 9, but the thought that I want to give you comes from verse 15. But let's read down to it, beginning in verse 9. The Bible says He rebuked. This is the story of Israel's rebellion and God's mercy in spite of their rebellion. And in verse 9, He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So He led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And He saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they His words. They sang His praise. They soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And He gave them their request. Do you see that? They lusted and He gave them their request. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, that's what happened to the prodigal. That's the same thing, isn't it? That's what I saw when I read it. And He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Is that not what happened to the prodigal? I mean, folks, as I was preparing this, Psalm 106, verse 15 came to mind. And look at verse 9, or look at verse 15. This lust is them saying, give me. And what did God give them? He gave them leanness for their souls. In other words, they got the same thing the prodigal received when he cried, give me. And all they got from their gimmies was the husk of life. And folks, the husk, you can't live on the husk. You can't survive on that. The husk has no nutritional value. And the prodigal is sitting there, and he fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the hogs did eat. Well, that's exactly what happened back here to the children of Israel. So all they got from the gimmies